evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. I have a guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I know it's someone that you would definitely want to talk to in person, but unfortunately, tonight our lines are down here at RBN, and the problem will be rectified, but for the time being, we can't take any calls tonight, and that's unfortunate. However, as I say, fortunately, I have a guest scheduled, actually a last-minute guest, so it was quite fortuitous, because I just don't know if I could have ran it and raved for an entire hour here this evening. I should say that this guest of mine is somebody I've known for a long, long time. You know, in this political racket that I've immersed myself in, for better or for worse, you get to meet a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life from all over the country, and they're generally no more than acquaintances or associates. But this gentleman who's joining me here this evening, I consider a personal friend. I've known him since about 1984, 1985, sometime in that time frame. So it's been quite a long time I've known this gentleman. His name is Van Lohman, and he's joining us from Cincinnati, Ohio, which is where he is a bit of a roustabout. Van, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Van, it's good to have you on the program. We've been talking about having you on here for a while. You know, I have to tell people, you know, it's going to be a very interesting experience for you and I to be talking here live on the air tonight, because over the years we've spent probably hundreds of hours talking on the telephone.
Right.
And in person, but never quite before a live audience, so to speak. And I think this will be a delight for our friends at the Anti-Defamation League, because they'll get to hear live on the air without having to tap our phones like they normally do to hear what we're discussing, Van.
Exactly, yeah. You know, actually, I was thinking about the same thing a little while ago. We've always, I think, both enjoyed our telephone conversations over the years, so this should be fun.
Yeah, you know, I just have to tell the audience a little bit more about you. As I say, you've been involved in, for want of a better way of putting it, the so-called quote-unquote right-wing or the patriotic movement for a long, long time. You were at one point, I believe, the national vice chairman of the Populist Party before its demise. Is that not correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah, so you run for the Cincinnati City Council. You've done a lot of different things over the years. Van's a graphic designer by background. That always kind of amused me, Van, because there's just not many graphic designers in the right wing.
No, there's not.
No, I don't know why that is, but so I was always interested to know that. But one thing, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted Van to talk a little bit about here on the program tonight is something that he's been doing, I guess, for close to 15 or 20 years now. Correct me if I'm wrong, Van, but
actually 23 years.
23 years.
Yes.
Van has been conducting. Well, he's been speaking at a high school, Thomas Worthington High School, in Columbus, Ohio. They have an advanced political science honors course for graduating seniors, and every year the teacher, Tom Molnar, brings in what he bills as political extremists. And guess what? Van Lohman is one of them, and Van goes and talks to the kids. And I must say, I mentioned this on the air, Van, already. You once arranged for me to come out to Columbus, Ohio, and speak to Mr. Molnar's class. And I want to tell you, some of those kids there, you know, people tend to write off young people and say they've been... Oh, Van, we have a break coming up.
go right ahead.
Stay tuned, Van.
I will.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, talking with a good friend and an old friend, and just got caught up in the conversation. Stay tuned for a lot more. I think you'll find it entertaining. This is Michael Collins Piper here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Yeah. There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here. Just to remind you, we can't take calls tonight, unfortunately, because of some technical problems. But fortunately, we have a guest, and I'm very pleased to have this guest. It's Van Lohman of Cincinnati, Ohio. He's been a roustabout in the Patriot movement, well, all of his adult life. He's a national vice chairman of the Populist Party. He's run for Cincinnati City Council. And as we're going to the break, I was explaining that Van has been speaking regularly before an honors class of students at a graduating honors students at a high school in Columbus, Ohio, and it's a forum of a wide variety of guests have come. And at one point, as we were talking here over the break, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith actually filed a complaint with the school board, did they not, Van, to try to stop you from speaking?
Yes, they did, and not only that, they boycotted the sessions themselves and refused to have any of their speakers there for a couple of years until they finally gave up.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that they wouldn't even though the teacher offered the Anti-Defamation League to be able to come in and meet with the class, they wouldn't do it just as a matter of quote unquote principle. Then I guess, no pun intended here.
Right, right. No, the classes there at Worthington High School have been a absolutely rewarding experience for me for the past, 23 years now. And it's had a big impact on my way of thinking, because these kids are smart, and you can't help but listen to them and analyze their questions, and so it's been a very, very rewarding experience. And just as a matter of fact, just finished up my last four sessions here over the past about 6 weeks ago. So,
you know, Van, I think I told you this before, and I may have even mentioned this here in this program, but I recall the one time that I spoke out there, and I was discussing Final Judgment and my thesis on Mossad involvement in the Kennedy assassination. And of course, these students they don't know what to expect. They've been, you know, it's kind of like you and I are poster boys of bad boy extremists, more or less, you know, so they're really curious to see. The students are obviously very curious and also kind of cautious because they don't quite know, you know, and they've already looked you up on the internet and they've read all the bad things about you. But I know when I came in there and spoke, and I was outlining my thesis, and this was a class of, what, maybe 50 kids.
Right.
And I was, you know, outlining my thesis, and then I was about 10 minutes into it, and all of a sudden, I saw all of these bright eyes light up. It was like I felt like I had pressed a button, had turned on a bright light, and I knew then that I had this audience, this skeptical audience. I knew that I had them with me. It was he's right. I believe what this man is saying.
It's right.
kind of a frightening experience.
It's if a light has suddenly come on in the classroom. You know, in my experience, I recall when I first started talking to these students, I was met with a lot of, actually some insulting comments there for a while. But I've noticed over the years that as the political climate has changed, I get less and less insults, and more and more it seems as though the students are actually listening. They're paying very close attention to the things I'm saying, and they're giving it some very serious thought.
And they ask intelligent questions too.
Oh yes,
that's the amazing thing there. You know what I mean? It's I think I got more intelligent questions in that particular gathering than maybe I got in any other public forum wherever I spoke in the United States.
Well, you know, there was a big, you might say, a political sea change on 9/11. Actually, that was probably one of the more dramatic classes that I did, because I was doing it by telephone at the time. And I was actually doing the session as 9/11 news was breaking on TV.
No kidding. That's,
yeah, and so I was able to comment on what was going on the, of course, nobody knew at the moment exactly how bad things were at the time, but you know, and by the time the class was over with, then the news really started to come in. But in any event, ever since then, the students have, there's been a change in their reactions to the things that I say, because the problems have become more evident. The conditions here in the country have become more stressed, if you will, and they're not as critical as they used to be. They're actually listening, and I think we're penetrating their minds a little bit.
Van, of course, I haven't heard any of your presentations but I was curious you brought this up now. When you've been talking, I assume you must have talked about, since 9/11, and not that particular day, but, you know, in subsequent presentations, you've presumably touched on 9/11, and certainly whether, and we've talked about it on this program, you know, the question of Israeli involvement and or foreknowledge. And have you discussed that with the students at all?
Actually, no, I haven't. And that's an interesting question, because I suppose I should have. But
it would be interesting to see how they reacted.
Yeah,
on that particular thing. Yeah,
it would, and of course, it would answer the question as to, you know, just how much they may have already heard about that. I don't know that is a subject that's of that's been widely enough disseminated that they may not even know about it. So that's a good point. The next time I'm there, I should bring that up. But no, I have never really talked about
just,
it.
Yeah, I'm just curious about that. You know, one of the things I know you talk about. And it's a very sensitive topic, and that's this issue of race relations, civil rights, affirmative action, all of these things this hangover from the violent 1960s, and you're right there in Cincinnati, which is a racial hot
war zone.
Yeah, a war zone. Yeah, how do the kids deal with this upfront discussion of race?
Well, as I said before, you know, they're becoming more and more inclined to listen. At one point, you know, whenever you talk about race issues, you're met with a bunch of epithets. You're a hate monger or a bigot or whatever, you know. But especially after the Cincinnati riots a couple of years ago, they have been a great deal more interested in hearing what I have to say, because so many of the problems that we're having here in the greater Cincinnati area are such ridiculous problems, I guess you could call them. They're really a better word for it. But in any event, the news that the riots generated and the events that led up to the riots and the events that have followed the riots, these are all things that the students have heard about from other sources. So when I get there and they know they're talking to someone there that's interested in talking about race, they're very interested in listening.
You know, that's this is the one thing. You know, it's I should mention, it's kind of interesting too, when you ran for Cincinnati City Council, despite your controversial positions, so to speak, you were actually endorsed, were you not, by James Meredith, the famed 1960s icon of the civil rights movement?
Right. Actually, I got to know James Meredith. He was here in Cincinnati for a couple of years. He lived here, and he had a guest professorship at the University of Cincinnati, and he was running for, I believe it was state school board at the time. And he and I would meet at various public functions, and he was gracious enough to invite me to his home a couple of times, and got to know him fairly well. And yes, he did endorse. Of course, it was a co-endorsement. I endorsed his campaign, and he endorsed mine. And my political career began back in the days when George Wallace was running for president.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It was kind of an irony, almost, or whatever you want to call it, that a former worker for George Wallace was kind of hanging out with James Meredith.
Now, James, he was the first black student where at University of Mississippi
in 1961, I believe it was.
That's right. Okay, that's right. Van, one thing that I think will be of interest to a lot of our listeners, because often on this program I talk about the undercover operations of the Anti-Defamation League and the FBI and the CIA and how they infiltrate right-wing groups and so forth. And, I mean, just to make a long story short, I might as well just tell the listeners straight out what the story is. It's the fact that when you were a young man, there was a very colorful figure in Cincinnati by the name of Jim Harris, and at one point for many years he was almost like a father figure to you, and he was also Grand Dragon of the Ohio Ku Klux Klan. But the whole time he was Grand Dragon of the Klan, he was also a high-level informant for the FBI, and also tied up very close to organized crime, and also had links to the CIA's attempts to invade Cuba using mob elements. This was a man you knew very well, but at the time, you didn't know that he had all these other connections.
No, I didn't. You know, I was very young when I first met him, and I've told the story before. People ask me, so how did you meet Jim Harris? And I've told them my first notice of Jim Harris came when I saw his picture on the front page of the Cincinnati Enquirer, a photograph of him taking the Fifth Amendment before the House of American Activities Committee hearing. And I sought him out, and he was identified as the Grand Dragon of the Klan, and I began an association with him that lasted for nearly 20 years. And, of course, that's such a story that we're never going to be able to touch on it much here tonight, but he was a very interesting guy, and yes, he was very deeply involved in all the things that you've mentioned, and probably more that I'm going to be touching on as time goes on.
Well, Van, here comes the break. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here with the one and only Van Lohman from Cincinnati, Ohio. Stay tuned for a lot more conversation here. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, and I'm Michael Collins Piper, coming to you from Washington.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Headline news. Activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The council to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Too bad you can't call in tonight, folks. We're having problems with the telephone lines, but we do have a guest on here, very interesting man by the name of Van Lohman, very good friend of mine, known him for many, many years, and he's been active politically for a long, long time, and there's no nonsense with Van Lohman. You what you see is what you get, folks. Before the break, Van, we were talking about your unusual longtime father-son relationship with a very controversial figure there in Ohio who the whole time he was publicly posturing as the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, he was actually a high-level FBI informant and involved in the CIA's intrigues against Fidel Castro in league with organized crime, this guy named Jim Harris. And thought it'd be interesting, Van, we might mention the fact that Jim Harris's name popped up in 1976 in a very strange way involving the House Assassinations Committee investigation into the assassinations of John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King. Could you think the listeners would be very interested in that, Van, if you could just fill them in on it?
Well, actually, he was... he was not subpoenaed, so far as I know, before the House Select Committee on Assassination. They took special steps to send two general counsels to Cincinnati to take his testimony, which, so far as I know, has never been released.
that's very interesting in and of itself, because they've released tens of thousands of pages of all sorts of other documents, but the stuff regarding Jim Harris is still top secret so far as we know.
Right, and what's even more interesting about it is not only, well, first of all, if and when his files or his testimony is ever released, I think it not only is going to shed more light on some of the major crimes that were committed throughout those years between, 1960 and 1975, but it would also give anyone interested enough to look into it, would give them an insight as to how FBI and CIA operatives conduct their subterfuge and how they manage people and bring these events to happen. You know, there are so many people who want to jump to conclusions and call someone like myself or even yourself conspiracy theorists. But these conspiracies are real, and they are carried out by subversive government informants and operatives, and the extent to which they have had an impact on our society and on history, and the direction in which this country is actually headed would be for people to actually know the extent to which they have had this impact on America would be amazing to many Americans today if they had that information.
And, you know, again, that the interesting thing I think is the fact that all these years that you knew Jim Harris, you had no idea how deeply rooted his government connections were. You saw bits, and I guess every once in a while you'd see some evidence or hear of him talking about some of his involvement in these operations against Castro. But he never filled you in on all the details. He kind of kept you, as close as you were to him, he still kept you at arm's length to some
extent.
Right,
he was a very, very secretive man. And, you know, I felt that I knew him as well as I could have known my own father. But it took me many, many years to really get a handle on the depth of his involvement. And really, it has been, since he passed away in 1995, I've learned more about him since then, I think, than I did while he was alive, frankly.
Yeah, that's an interesting, I wish, Van, that we could get the recordings from the Anti-Defamation League of the telephone calls between you and I, because over the years you've told me some fascinating stories about Jim Harris and some of the things he was involved in, and if I recall correctly, Van, one of the last times I actually saw you in person, you actually told me a very interesting story, which, roughly as I recall, you had some, when you went into the U.S. Army, you had some strange experiences which led you to believe that Jim Harris was actually, in contact with your superiors in the military and perhaps guiding you along in some way. Is that not correct?
Yes, looking back on those years and the events that occurred during my term of military service, I'm pretty much convinced that he was playing some kind of a role. The extent to which he had control over me while I was in the military, I don't guess we'll ever know. But yeah, it was a very, very interesting experience and very unique experience.
If I recall correctly, as I said, I wish I had that recording. I have to get Abe Foxman on the phone and ask him about it. But
yeah.
As I recall, when you went into the Army, you went into the regular Army, but it appeared to you that you were being recruited into some sort of secret intelligence unit.
Well, you know, at the time, it was a big secret at the time, but we can talk about it now. We were involved in an attempt to overthrow the government of Haiti. And the idea, Jim Harris had been involved in the first Bay of Pigs invasion, and the idea...
Van, we have our half-hour break coming up here. We will have 25 minutes free to talk after this break.
So okay.
Stay tuned, Van, and stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Lots more interesting details from the world of Van Lohman. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. If you are not reading American Free Press, you must. There is an internet website for American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net, but there's a lot more to American Free Press than that. It's a national weekly newspaper. It's mailed out every week. About 50,000 satisfied readers across the country. And we have Midwest bureau chief, as a matter of fact, for American, I shouldn't say he's a bureau chief, he's a correspondent, Midwest correspondent for American Free Press, Van Lohman, very interesting man, as you can see, had some very interesting experiences. And before the break, Van started to tell us about his being drafted into a what was then a very secret government operation to overthrow the government of Haiti. So, Van, if you want to continue there, I think people will find this interesting.
Well, it was a very interesting experience. The idea, of course, Haiti at the time was the Kennedy administration, of course, had problems going all the way back to the early 1960s with the Haitian government, but this, of course, was in the 1968, 69, several years after John Kennedy had been assassinated. And the idea behind overthrowing the government of Haiti, which everybody felt would be fairly easy to do, since at the time it was under the government of Jean Duvalier, Papa Doc. It had a very slim military force, and the idea of overthrowing that military force on the island of Haiti was considered to be probably one of the easiest military adventures that one could get involved in. But the real reason for overthrowing the government of Haiti would be to create a new government on the island and then pick a fight with Fidel Castro and organize an army under the Haitian banner that would eventually attempt to start a war with the Cuban government. And, of course, simultaneously, the plots to assassinate Fidel Castro were continuing all the way up until, I guess, officially about 1975, the covert operations against Cuba following the Watergate episode were supposed to have been dropped. But in any event, the whole idea was to go after Fidel Castro. And, of course, I still believe that the United States government has covert operations underway at the present time to topple Fidel Castro. But in any event, that's what it was all about.
Yeah, well, this is again one of those interesting little things, you know, that kind of shed some light on an area that most people know nothing about. And I mean, I find that really quite extraordinary that that rather than invading Cuba directly, we were going to overthrow one government and set up a government to get involved in a fight with Fidel Castro. I mean,
right. It is a pretty nasty little game that was being played. There's no question about that. But you know, one of the interesting things about your program and Republic Broadcasting is the fact that these things can be talked about now. And, you know, generally speaking, in the mainstream media, they're not talked about. And they are the things that people need to understand, because not only were those things going on then, they're going on now. And the kind of games that were being played against the government of Haiti and the government of Cuba, one really never knows anymore what all sorts of games that are being played now on the world stage as well.
Van, I hate to digress here, but here talking to you, it reminds me of kind of a strange little experience that you and I had that time when I went out to Columbus, Ohio. I was going to speak at the school there, and I'd also scheduled a meeting for Spotlight readers to come when I was working for the Spotlight newspaper. And we had about 50 people come to the meeting that night. And then the next morning, I was going to go out to the school with you. You were going to drive me from we were in Columbus, Ohio, not in Cincinnati where you live, but you were going to pick me up at my hotel, and then we stopped and had breakfast prior to going to the school. And while we were in the restaurant, a very unusual thing happened, if you'll recall. A gentleman came in to the restaurant, positioned himself at a table not far from us, and it became apparent to both of us that this gentleman he had the appearance of being someone who might be associated with the Anti-Defamation League. He was keeping a close watch on us very carefully and listening to everything we said. And if I recall correctly, he at one point even made a very discreet telephone call on a cell phone while sitting there. He did not order anything. He simply had a cup of coffee. And when we left, he left. And I am convinced to this day that we were under surveillance by somebody from the Anti-Defamation League. And you and I both commented at the time that we felt that that they deliberately wanted us to be aware that we were under surveillance, that it was some sort of an intimidation tactic.
Well, it's certainly one that was used during the 60s, during my associations with Jim Harris, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's very interesting that you point that out, too, because the ADL, of course, being a private organization as opposed to a government organization, can do the bidding and of the FBI or the CIA, for that matter, but primarily for the FBI. And they don't, they're not subject to the rules and regulations and the laws that that govern the activities of an organization like the FBI.
A government agency, that's correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so the FBI can use the ADL to do its dirty work for it today. Of course, it has been doing that for a long time, but especially since 1975, at the end of the Senate Intelligence Committee hearings. I'm sure you remember all of those days when all this stuff was coming out. But in any event, they're very useful, and they're not subject to the laws that would prohibit a federal agency from doing many of the intimidating things that they do.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, Van. Then when I spoke that night, actually, when I had the public, the gathering for the Spotlight readers who came to see me, we sent out invitations and they came. I was there to talk about my book on the Kennedy assassination, Final Judgment, and I was not there to talk about the Holocaust or anything like that. I was talking about the JFK's war with Israel over nuclear weapons, and suddenly this nice-looking older gentleman stood up and began crying and talking about the Holocaust and saying that he had been a U.S. veteran of World War II and that he was very, very aware of that the Holocaust did happen. And, you know, it just came completely out of the blue, and it was very disruptive to the meeting.
Right. I remember that very, very well. You know, it's interesting that whatever subject you may bring up with regard to Israel or the United States relationship with Israel, or in your case, the assassination of John Kennedy and the involvement by the Israeli Mossad, it's very easy for them, by raising the issue of the Holocaust and trying to put you on the spot as a Holocaust denier, then what I guess they're trying to do is just discredit everything else that you have to say.
Well, you know, I tell you what's very, very interesting, Van, because it was some months after that event, and that happened where this old gentleman stood up and he described himself as a Christian and said he wasn't Jewish and so forth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to be shuffling through a pile of old newspaper clippings and materials that had been sent to me months before. And in that clipping, in one of those clippings, it came from a Columbus area newspaper. It told the story of a former U.S. veteran of World War II who used to go around giving public speeches and declamations, I guess is that the word, on the subject of the Holocaust and what his experiences were in liberating the concentration camps. And, you know, I'll be damned if it wasn't that same guy.
Yeah, you know, the thing
yeah,
is...
So, So basically what it was, he was deliberately sent to that meeting. He was not a Spotlight subscriber. He came to that meeting, somebody directed him to go to that meeting and get up and talk about the Holocaust.
Well, yeah, the interesting thing about the entire episode is, well, let's put it this way. The book that you wrote on the, Final Judgment on the assassination of John Kennedy and the Israeli involvement, as I've told you so many times before over the years, I believe such an important book that there's no doubt that they have gone out of their way to stifle your speaking events. I know that you've had these problems in California as well when you were invited to speak at that university, as you recall.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But you know, people and I. This was not a plan. I didn't come on this show to plug your book, but I'm going to anyway. Final Judgment is a book that everybody needs to read. And not only read it, but read it over and over again. I've told people before that it's a textbook more than anything else, because it covers so much more besides the assassination of John Kennedy. And you've become a thorn in the side of the Israeli lobby in this country, Mike. So you might as well just be prepared for more visits from the ADL as time goes on. That's all I can tell you.
You know, I have to tell this story, Van. You told me a story one day. You were, I believe, at a flea market. You'd set up a stand there, and you actually had copies of Final Judgment there. And a very distinguished old black gentleman, very well-dressed, wearing a lot of expensive jewelry, came along and looked very closely at the book and bought a copy, and then about a half an hour later, he came back and bought several more copies, and then a little bit more time came by, and he bought your entire stock.
Yes, he did. And since then, I think he's bought maybe 25 copies of High Priests of War.
Oh,
and it's funny that you mention that, because I was at the flea market over this past weekend, and I saw him, and he asked me if I had any more copies,
well,
which I don't, by the way.
It's good to know I have a fan out there in Cincinnati. I'd like to meet that man sometime.
Well, you know, like I've said, Mike, it's a very, very important book. As a matter of fact, it was one of the things that opened my eyes to some of the events surrounding the assassination of John Kennedy that well prompted me to actually do a lot of the research that I've done since then. As you recall, the one appendix that you have in there about Roy Frankhauser was which I don't know if listeners know who that is, but it was your inspiration that caused me to become more involved in my own research and produce some of the writings that I've been able to produce here.
Yeah, and then we should mention you actually have some books in the works at this time. You got to get them finished, Van, because I know people are going to want to read them.
Well, let's hope so. I think they're going to be interesting to a lot of people. There certainly are some stories I know that you found interesting. Hopefully the readers will find them interesting. But they do shed a lot of light on the assassinations of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King as well, and some other pretty interesting things that I'm not going to tell anybody about right now because I want to save it for the book. But
right, exactly.
I think, they're going to be very, very eye-opening, I hope.
Van, if you don't mind, I'd like you to give out your email address in a couple minutes in case, you know, there may be somebody out here who has some information that they may know something, that there may be somebody listening right now who knew Jim Harris or knows something about Jim Harris, and they may want to pass it on to you. So, folks, get your pen and paper handy, and before this hour closes, which is coming up not long from now, we'll give Van Lohman's email address, and you can drop him a note, or maybe you might be interested in having him come and speak at one of your schools somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So we'll give that email address out then, Van.
Yeah, I'll do that. This is a kind of relaunching my political career here tonight, Mike. This is a premier appearance, I guess we could call it. Really enjoy being on your show. It's a great program, and the situation in this country has become so bizarre that it's just impossible for me to ignore it anymore. So I'm going to tell people right now, I'm running for something. I don't know what yet, but it's just at a point now where anybody that's interested in the future of this country, any of the traditional patriots out there, the America First crowd, however you describe yourself, it's time for the American people to get angry, first of all, and to begin the second American Revolution, if you want to call it, call it that. It's just time now. This is there are too many things going on that threaten the future security of this nation that simply cannot be ignored any longer.
Well, you know, Van, you know, we've talked about this between us many times, and we have a very good mutual friend named Paul Christian Wolf, and
right,
we've talked about it with him too, about the fact that there are a lot of people in high places, particularly in the military and in the FBI and the CIA and other places of influence, who are fed up with the way things are going in this country, and they are our allies. They may be very quiet allies at this point, but they know what's going on, and they share the concerns that you and I have, and the people at John Stattmiller and the people at RBN who make this program possible, and certainly all the listeners of Republic Broadcasting and of course the readers of American Free Press. So we're not alone.
Right, I agree with you. And you know, there are so many we talk about the FBI, we talk about the CIA, we talk about various other federal organizations and agencies, and we have a tendency, I think, sometimes to be
cast them in a bad light.
Well, right.
Yeah,
but the fact is that there are good people in those organizations. Not all of them, but there are certainly many, many good people that are just as aware as we are of what's going on in this country. And I would like to think, as well as you do, that these people are our allies. And as time goes on, they're going to become more active and more vocal. And perhaps there is still some time to turn this country around.
Yeah, I mean, this is this is the thing. You know, both you and I, and so many of the listeners, you know, have devoted so many years to Well, you know, to trying to do something, you know, to get the word out there, to get people energized, you know, to bring them the information they need to write letters, you know, even if it's only writing a letter to the editor or calling one of these national talk radio programs that, you know, to break in there and get the word out, you know, and it's that's why I always say, you know, that, you know, I write books, and now I've been blessed with this this nightly talk forum. It came completely out of the blue when John at RBN, John Stadtmiller, offered me this hour, and I certainly was very flattered and very surprised. But you know, my my reaction was, well, it can't hurt to try it out, and it's just another way to get the word out there.
It was about time.
Man, we have this final break coming up, and then we have about 5 more minutes to go.
Okay, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know you're finding this program as interesting as I am. Listening to Van Lohman here tonight, stay tuned for 5 more minutes of good programming. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its 5th year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This hour has gone really fast, and I've enjoyed it immensely. I have my very good friend Van Lohman on here. Wanted Van to come on tonight. This is kind of like a meet Van Lohman night, and I'm going to have Van on a lot more, and we'll kind of, you know, get into issues. You know, tonight we've just kind of been talking about Van's very interesting personal experiences and his very interesting acquaintances. This has only been the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. Van and I have raised hell all over this country in one time or another, various meetings and so forth, and so we know each other quite well, but I wanted you to get to know Van tonight, and as current events pop up that bear commentary, we'll have Van on again. Now, I promised I'd give Van's email address out, so you can drop Van a note if you'd like, and he is available to come and speak in your community or even at your schools. Of course, you have to pay his way there. Van can't pay it out of his own pocket, but he's a hell of a speaker, and he can fill you in on the things you need to know. Van's address is vlohman@juno.com. Is that not correct, Van?
Right. vlohman@juno.com.
Yeah, and that's, I should spell that out. It's vlohman, L-O-M-A-N, at Juno, J-U-N-O.com.
Correct.
vlohman@juno.com.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from your listeners. I really would.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of smart people out there listening in tonight, Van. I really really wish some of them could have called in, but as I say, we're going to have you back. We might just have you on weekly, Van.
While I'm on tonight, I do want to say this. First of all, I really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. I'm very, very impressed with not only the show, but Republic Broadcast Network as well. This is just such an excellent opportunity, not only for you and your career, but also for the important messages that you're bringing to the American people that they can listen to now, unimpeded by the establishment media. And also, I want to congratulate you, too, on your upcoming trip to Malaysia. I know you're leaving next week, aren't you?
Leaving Monday, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm very happy for you to be able to go over there again. I know that you enjoyed your first visit there.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting experience. I'm going to have the opportunity to meet Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, the former prime minister who's very controversial.
Oh, really?
He's going to be speaking at the same forum where I'm speaking, so... It's going to be very interesting, and I like Malaysia. I like the Malaysian people, and I'd like to think of it as kind of a peace mission, you know, to let the people in that part of the world know that not all Americans support the criminal activities of George Bush and these gangsters that populate his administration.
You know, George Bush is driving me nuts lately. I have to tell you, I just can't figure that guy out. Well, maybe I can figure him out, but it's great that you can go to these other countries and let them know that there are dissident voices here in the United States that do not embrace these strategies that are being that the administration are trying to carry out throughout the world.
Van, do you hear that music? You know what that means.
Yeah, I do.
Good night. Yeah. Well, listen, Van, thanks for coming on the show. I had a hell of a good time. I knew I would, and I know the listeners enjoyed it, too.
Well,
drop Van a note at vlohman@juno.com. That's J-U-N-O.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening in, and stay tuned. Tomorrow night, we'll be back. This is Michael Collins Piper, leaving you for now, but I can guarantee you lots of good programming ahead here tonight on RBN, so don't turn the radio down, don't cut your computer off. Stay tuned.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to
Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.